Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fifth Sunday of Easter will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles, so you can remain seated, as it's not a gospel text. The Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to read from chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 18 in reading in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the apostles and the brothers who were out throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began to explain it to them in this order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at the very moment three men arrived at the house, which were sent from Caesarea. And the Holy Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And behold, how he had seen an angel standing in his house and said, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter, and he will declare to you the message by which you will be saved, and you and your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as us in the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.' And if God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would allow us to hear the truth, be sanctified in the truth, and be free. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for this word, and we ask that you would continually hold us in this word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. That cake is calling my name so much, I feel like saying, "Amen, let's go eat," but we can't do that yet. It's kind of like when you guys are in your last classes at school, and man, it just seems like that clock goes slow, right? I remember my teacher always had a sign up there, one of my teachers saying, "Time will pass, will you?" And one year I didn't pass. That was first grade, so I lucked out. But anyways, this is a very, very powerful part of Scripture that I think really all of us need to be attentive to. Sometimes in church life, we have a tendency to put these regulations on people or try to make people to fit a certain box so therefore they can be accepted or received into the body of Christ. But that's not how God operates. In fact, in the Acts of the Apostles, you see the church is moving forward very powerfully and very fast. We see that God, in reality, is establishing through these 12 apostles now his kingdom upon this earth, obviously the foundation being Christ Jesus. But, you know, when you're changing things, when you're going in a different direction, it's not always smooth sailing. Not many of us really enjoy change. You know, I like to pretend that I'm open-minded and everything like that, you know. But, boy, you move something around in my life and I'm having a difficult time with it. Eventually, I get there. Everybody in the world pretends or knows that my wife is the most pleasable lady. She's very happy. She's very positive. But, you know, in my married life, I've gotten in a fight over furniture because a husband realized that he can't just move furniture or a husband can't walk into her kitchen and decide that it's not organized right, I'm going to change it so it's better for her. Change is difficult. And sometimes we need to be shown that. I remember when I did do that with the kitchen, it didn't go so well. So she did explain to me in word pictures, because I'm a man, I need them. And she said, what if I'm to go into your shop and start reorganizing your toolboxes and all that stuff? And she said, how would you feel? I said, well, you wouldn't know what you're doing. Point was taken. I didn't know what I was doing. So sometimes in life, though, changes can be positive. And when God came in reality in the form of Christ Jesus to this earth, he was allowing himself to be accessible to by everybody. And this was a large change. Now, Peter was in the forerunning of this. And we understand the vision that he had when he was on that rooftop. We understand from chapter 10, if we were to look back, that he was up there praying and meditating, and God actually gave him a vision. And so he was now called to go to Cornelius's place, because Cornelius was a Gentile who actually was seeking the Lord. So I want you to understand that. There were people that were outside of the camp that were seeking for God. And sometimes we have a tendency as human beings to say, well, if they're outside of the camp, I don't have to deal with them. Well, then that would totally destroy missionaries. That would destroy a lot of what we do as a church. But Cornelius had a sincere desire to know God and to know what was going to happen in his life. So therefore, he came around and he was praying and asking the Lord to reveal. So the Lord answers. And he answers in a powerful way. He takes Peter, who is really one of the forerunners of the church, and he gives him this vision. And in this vision, there is this white blanket that comes down, this like sheet. And it's full of these animals that really an Israelite would not touch. They were unclean animals. And so they had prided themselves on following the law. They had prided themselves on being ceremonial clean, so that they didn't have to, you know, worry about this stuff. They stayed away from certain things. We, in our faith, in our religion, we have a tendency to do the same, which is not wrong. There are things that we abstain from. There's things that we feel are destructive. We may do that. But the problem can come about is when we turn around and we judge people according to those things instead of according to the Word of God. So that's pretty powerful. So Peter sees this vision, and it's kind of like flipping him out. And God had to do it three times so that Peter could get it. He says, Peter, rise up and eat. And Peter turns around and he says very plainly, no, 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 no. Is this a test? I've never eaten something like that, and I'm not gonna. So then it happens again. And then again. And I love it because even in the restoration of Peter of feed my lambs, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, it was literally three times that Jesus went through this. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. See, this is the three in the scriptures about completed work. It's about completed work. So finally, by the third time, Peter grasps this, but he still really doesn't understand what's going on there. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Cornelius had sent three men over there to go find him because the angel of the Lord was speaking to him too. See, God speaks to all kinds of individuals. It's not just those under this roof. He speaks to his people. But do we have ears to hear it, and do we have obedience to believe it and to act on it? So Cornelius hears the message. He, in obedience, sends his men. His men go there, and Peter's in the middle of this vision, and they're knocking on the door. Well, Peter opens the door and says, what's up? You know, our boss was praying. He was praying heavy. And he came down to the understanding. God told him, send some people over here and get you, and you're going to share the message. Share the message. So after this great vision, you know, now after this takes place, it says, at that very moment, three men arrived to the house, which were sent from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them. And so now Peter is bringing this up. He's basically sharing the experience because you can understand. Some of the elders in the church are like, oh, should we be doing this? Should this be going on? What's happening here? He says, who am I to deny? The Spirit itself said, get up and go with them. Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever had an experience where God has spoken to you in that still small voice and told you to do something, and sometimes you just don't know why you're doing it, but you feel you should. You're obedient to it. I've had that experience many times in my life, and I've had that experience where other people have impacted my life because the Lord has spoken to them. They're not crazy. You know, we become so educated sometimes, we think that, well, that's just foolishness. No. God is powerful. God is still working. God is still speaking. And if we, as young adults and as bigger adults and old adults, not that there's any old people here, but if we would but ask and we would listen, we would hear that voice. We would hear him encourage us in a direction. Otherwise, how would we ever make a decision? You ever hear the statement, well, I didn't know what to do about it, so I prayed and I felt peace in this direction. That's that still small voice. That's the Spirit of God that encourages us. Or I don't know why I gave that gift. I didn't understand why I had to do it. But when I did it, I saw the blessing in it. Or I didn't know why I should stop and talk to someone. But the Lord or the Spirit, or I felt an inner peace that I should go see this person. And when I did, it was a beautiful thing. It was an encouragement to me and to them. In other words, God is still active. We don't worship a dead Christ. We don't worship a historical Christ. We worship in reality a living God who is still living and breathing in and through his word and by the power of his Spirit in our lives. So Peter's like, you know, there was three men that came to the door and I felt this unction, or the Spirit told me to go and make no distinction. Don't judge. Do what I've called you to do. How many times have we been that way in our life, whether it's in spiritual areas or even in business areas? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if they can afford it. I don't know if they'll go for it. I don't know. Just do it without thinking about it. Offer the opportunity to people. We were talking about that a little bit today in Bible study. It's our last Bible study because thank you, Sunday school teachers, all of you, for teaching these students so well. And also thank you, students and parents, for coming. This is our last day of Sunday school today. So what I wanted to leave off with an adult Bible study was, how often do we invite someone to church? How often do we actually share that message and just encourage them to come? Or do we make distinctions thinking, well, they're not going to be receptive? Have you ever been surprised by seeing someone walk through the doors? I have. I remember one time I was asked to preach down in Nagani. I was a seminary student. It was Christmas. You remember this, brother? It was Christmas. My wife had a knee surgery. And they said, can you come preach on Christmas Day? It was a Sunday, Christmas Day. Can you come preach in Nagani? And my first instinct was, I don't want to preach on Christmas in Nagani. I want to be with my family. And my brother, please forgive me, wasn't going to church a lot. He told me, what? Of all the days you need to go preach, you go preach. There was that still small voice coming out of my brother. So him and I jumped in a rig and we went down there. And that day will be precious to me forever because that was the first time that my brother came up to communion. God blesses us when we're obedient. And that voice may come from your brother. It may come from someone else. It may come from the inner part of you. But Lord speaks to each and every one of us. And so he says, I didn't make a distinction. When we go out there, don't make a distinction between people. Just show them love. Offer the opportunity, whatever it may be. He says, so making no distinction, he says, so I took these individuals with me, these six brothers. And I think this is cool. See, a witness of two or three is great, but a witness of six is powerful. That's really what's going on here. So Peter takes with him six other men. He says, so these six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered into this man's house, Cornelius. And he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa. He says, and bring forth Simon, who is called Peter, the rock, right? And he says, and he will declare to you the seven steps to heaven. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. He will declare to you all the things you must fulfill before you can be saved. No, it doesn't say that. See, these are the rules we have a tendency to put in. He says, very straightforward. He says, now, he will declare to you by which the message by which you will be saved. He will declare to you the message by which you will be saved. How are we saved? By the finished work of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. He preached Christ to him. See, and this is the most beautiful thing. That's what the pulpit is for. That's what the proclamation of the word is for. That you would know there is a greater hope in this world than what we see. That Christ Jesus has loved you so much that he gave himself in your stead. There's a lot of great information we can have out there. There's a lot of great stuff that we can do. And there's wonderful praise songs we can sing. And there's all kinds of activities we can do. But the reality of our church life is to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else. That is what Paul says. Peter would back this up. We are of all people most blessed because in our station, where we are in our life, God has sent his son for us. Whether we are young, whether we are the youngest, or we are old. I'm not pointing anywhere. Whether we are older. Christ has come for us. And he has given himself for us. And now what Peter is being instructed is, don't start predicating where you'll do it. Follow the Spirit, follow the voice, and preach the word. So Peter enters into this room, and he shares this message. So he says, don't make a distinction. Go there and share this message with them. And so anyways, and then now he says, so then he had basically, he says, he will declare to you this message, and you will be saved. You and what? I love this, your household. Why are half of you here for sure? I would say at least half of you. And me too, but I was raised to know of God, but we didn't go to church a lot. And boy, I don't know what I'd do without church in my life now. Even if you fired me tomorrow, not saying you're gonna, I'd still go to church. You know? But anyways, you are here because you had living Christianity in your home. Someone shared the message with you. So he says the household. In other words, now Cornelius' house has the truth, and those people now are being fostered in that truth. It doesn't mean everything works out perfectly, but it's there. The seed is planted. He says, and you know, it wasn't about me. Because really what happened was, it's the word. Peter says, when I opened the word to him, when I started preaching to him, there were people that were standing up grabbing the Spirit, right? No, it doesn't say that. When the word was proclaimed, when the word was put out there, it says the Spirit fell on him. I love this. See, because each and every one of our church groups, all of them, I'm talking about the whole different sects of church groups, not just our church buildings. We have a tendency to have our claim to fame. And we have a tendency to think we know how the Holy Spirit comes to people. But actually, in the book of Acts, there is literally four different ways that the Holy Spirit comes on people. There is here where now Peter preaches the word and the Spirit falls on these individuals. They didn't do anything for it. Then we have another part of Scripture where they lay hands on somebody and it says the Spirit came on them. So now you have preaching of the word, you have laying on the hands. Then you have another place where they're speaking in tongues and the Spirit falls on them. And we've built whole religions out of that. And then we have it in baptism, where the Spirit falls on them. And I think this is beautiful how the Lord lays this out in the book of Acts, because really what he's saying is, just like Jesus says, the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it's going. You can't control it. But what is evident in every one of those cases, those four scenarios that I gave you? Faith. Faith. See, God is faithful to faith. And so it's not ours. We can't dictate who's getting the Spirit and who's not. And that becomes a shame when we turn around and say, well, if you didn't do this act, you don't have the Spirit. So what you're saying is we're not Christians. That's not our axe to wield. So in this situation, there's no baptism that takes place. There's no speaking in tongues. There's no laying on of hands. Peter proclaims the word. Faith cometh by hearing. In what? Hearing of the word. Hearing of the word. He says, I got out there. He says, and I began to speak, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. Just like us. Just like us. God was gracious to them, these Gentiles, these ones outside of the camp, just as he was for us. And he says, and really, it clicked in my head. Peter says, I remembered very straightforward. This is not man's control, because Jesus told me. He says, I remembered the word of the Lord. He says, I remember what Jesus told us. He said, John is baptizing you with water. And that was a baptism of repentance. He's doing this great act. No doubt about it. God sent him on a mission. He says, but I remember Jesus said something greater was coming, that we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, joined together with the Spirit. That's really what that means, to join together. He says, man, this was powerful, because this was God operating beyond Peter, beyond the Pharisees, beyond the elders, beyond everybody else. We have a saying often, don't put God in a box. But we think we have a pretty big box as long as we control it. No, it's not about us. It's about him and his faithfulness. He says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, I love how he says this. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave when we first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stop it? You know, if someone comes to faith and someone is enjoying the Christian life, we should be thankful. We should be rejoicing. But oftentimes we have a tendency, as Zig Ziglar used to say, we measure people with the yardstick of our years. In other words, when someone first walks through these doors, we're fired up. All right, Lord, there's a chance here. Praise God. And it's a sincere fired up. We want them to know you. And then all of a sudden they come a second Sunday or a third Sunday, you know, and we're pretty stoked about that. It's like, yeah, you're grabbing them, Lord. But then after maybe a month or two of coming to church, it's like, well, you know, they have this little bit of a flaw, and maybe we should talk to them about that. Or maybe they're going to the wrong church if it's a relative that's going somewhere. Maybe they're going to the wrong church. We got to talk to them about that. If the Lord allowed them to walk through these doors, if the Lord allowed them to gain faith and to receive the gift, then why will the Lord not see the rest of the way through? If he's the author and the finisher of our faith, can we trust him? When we look at a young individuals that stood up here, and they're just starting in the threshold of their adult years, right? Making decisions for themselves. Do you think they're going to make mistakes? I guarantee you they are. But I'm just thankful I never made one. Right. Exactly true. I made lots. We are there to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to help them. It's not that we're not going to make mistakes. Not that new parishioners aren't going to make mistakes. Not that people wondering what this Christianity is about aren't going to make mistakes. But that we are there to encourage them, to support them, and to pray for them. And allow God to continue to work in their heart and in their lives. You've heard me say it before. Maybe it makes me a not so good pastor, but it's not my job to change you. That's not my job. Our job, as we said, is to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, that you may receive it by grace through faith and allow God and his Spirit to change you. And you might think, oh, I need changing here. And that might not even really be the issue. God will reveal to you a whole different change. And I may think of you, well, this guy's a little off. He needs to change here. I don't know what I'm talking about either. But the Lord knows even the intents of our heart. So whatever path that we go on, as young adults graduating or as elders that are supporting, he knows every footstep. Trust him. Peter says, who am I to stand in the way? If God is working, I need to step aside. So then they turned around and they heard these things, and I love what it says here. We take these for granted. They fell silent. Bonhoeffer has a book called Meditation of the Cross, but he talks about how we need, in reality, to stand silent before the cross. Because what can we add to his work? And what can we change in his plan of salvation? Nothing. We are of all people most blessed. Because whether we know it or not, God loves you. He has a purpose for you. And he has sent his son to pay your whole debt, that you may be able to live in freedom and peace with him. What a blessing that is. So they fell silent. But then they turned around and what? They praised Peter for being so cool and awesome that he was able to reach a bunch of derelicts. No, that's not what it says. They fell silent, but when they opened their mouth, what was their mouth open for? And they glorified God. They glorified God because it's not about man. It's about him. And they also started speaking and saying, then to the Gentiles, they received this themselves. To the Gentile, God also has granted repentance, a turning about. He says, that leads to eternal life. That's the proclamation of the church. We don't have to fit in with the world. Sometimes we're worried about that. Sometimes we think we have to have the right statements of the world. No, we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. And allow God, by the power of his Spirit, to do that great work in each and every heart. So, as I even said with the Sunday school, in the adult Bible study during Sunday school today, it's awesome to invite. It's awesome to outreach. But we don't have to conform people. We just got to allow the Word to do that. Trust in him. He loved you enough to give you a peace. He's going to love them enough to give them peace too. Allow them to feel the love of God. Peter says, who was I to stand in his way? I was just obedient to what the Spirit said, and here we are. And they fall silent in their criticisms, but they open their mouth to praise God. And I praise God for each and every one of you, because truly it is by his hand, by his grace, that we are here today. And we continue to pray for our graduates. We pray for all the confirmands that will be coming up in all the churches, but we also pray for the congregations, that they would continue to show the love of Jesus Christ and encourage a community that so desperately needs to hear it. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We got a communion hymn.